reading is Deuteronomy 27, 1 through 8. Then Moses and the elders of Israel charged the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you today. So it shall be on the day when you cross the Jordan to the land which the Lord God gives you, that you shall set up for yourself large stones and coat them with lines, and write on them all the words of this law, when you cross over, so that you may enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord the God of your fathers promised you. So it shall be with you when you cross the Jordan, you shall set up on Mount Ebal these stones, as I am commanding you to today, and you shall coat them with lime. Moreover, you shall build there an altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stones. You shall not wield an iron tool on them. You shall build the altar of the Lord your God of uncut stones, and you shall offer on it burnt offerings to the Lord your God. And you shall sacrifice peace offerings and eat there and rejoice before the Lord your God. You shall write on the stones all the words of this law very distinctly. Second reading, Jeremiah 31:31-34. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more.
Here ends the reading. You may be seated. I'd like to start with prayer. God, I just pray that you would speak to us. I just pray, speak to our hearts, challenge us. Let's draw close, help us to marvel at who you are, that you are faithful, that you are truly the good shepherd. You always will be. In the name of Jesus, amen. So you ever, when you're reading the Bible, do you ever notice a kind of a theme? I mean, there's several themes, but one of the themes is God warns his people. He gives us commands and he warns us, and we tend to wander. We tend to do what he tells us not to do. And then we wonder why there are such predicament. He says, hey, if you do this, there's going to be consequences. And then we get upset because of the consequences. And those consequences are for our disobedience, but imagine if he didn't discipline us. I would be a mess. His discipline is perfect. And in the scripture reading today in Deuteronomy 27, I love this because it's like, God wants us to put those piles of stone in our lives to remind us how faithful he has been. And if we don't do that, we forget. Because when the next trial comes, it's like, what are you doing, God? And we feel like he's abandoned us, and he's not abandoned us. So these piles of stones were memorials of God's faithfulness, but also remind us of his commands. I love how in the scripture reading in Deuteronomy, they're about to cross the Jordan River on dry land. But let's back up. God promised that they would lead the land of Egypt, and they did. Now, he told Abraham 400 years before it ever happened that it was going to happen, and they would be oppressed, and they would leave Egypt. But think about it. They got stuck at the Red Sea. And God opened it up. Now, this wasn't 20 feet deep. This was hundreds of feet deep. This was a miracle. Is not our salvation a miracle? We cannot forget that. Just like the Red Sea parting, it was truly a miracle. Only God could do. But not only that, they get out in the wilderness where there's no water. And he provides water. Not only for them, but for their sheep and cattle and their livestock. Well over a million people in the wilderness. Let's all go out to the desert and see how well we do with over a million people. Let's figure 2 million people. How well are we going to survive? And yet he did this, and he provided food, manna from heaven. And yet, how people doubted him. They got to the promised land the first time. It's like, oh, they're too big. We can't do this. And those who didn't believe died along the way. And he brings them to the Jordan River to go into what he promised, what he fulfilled. Again, it's so similar to our lives. And we cannot forget how he's been faithful, because I guarantee if you forget, you're going to doubt him. Because they forgot. They forgot what he did at the Red Sea. They forgot the 10 plagues. They forgot the manna. They forgot the water. Because they looked and, well, these people are too big and the cities are too big for us to conquer. Let's turn away. They forgot all the miracles. They forgot God's faithfulness. And unbelief happened. And I want to say, I'm no different. I need those reminders. And I need to be obedient to God's word, because God's word brings life. It is true. How often in the scripture, God says he's like a shepherd. In fact, Jesus said he was the good shepherd. And I want to just read Psalms 23, because I think we all know it, but it talks about God being the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Did you hear that? The good shepherd leads his flock to still waters. Okay, sheep does not like turbulent water. They like still water. And good pastures. In other words, he kind of leads us to those paths of righteousness, of following him. Because the other path is sin. The consequences of sin are not good. Like again, if I commit adultery against my wife, it's not going to be good. Number one, I will be dead, but let alone the havoc of sin does not bring good pasture. And God is leading us on paths of righteousness. But with that, I want to say, we need to know his word. We need to know his commands, but also to be obedient. That's why it was written on the stones. Hey, this is God's word. Do this and you will live. You will live in green pastures. Doesn't mean not trouble, because remember, if we go back to Psalms 23, the valley of the shadow of death. Not good times. We have all experienced not good times. We've all experienced trials. But I want to say in those trials, I see God's faithfulness. In the midst of it, it's like, God, what are you doing? Why are you trying to destroy me? When I look back, it's like, oh God, you loved me. You brought me through it. You changed me through it. And we need to remember that. Again, those piles of stone to remind us of what God has done and who he is. Because without him, we are prone to forget. And when we forget, we wander. We're sheep. And sheep like to wander. But I love, as he talks about being a shepherd, the description of his sheep. His sheep hear his voice. They know his voice. We are known by name. Do we value that? God knows you intimately. He knows you by name. It isn't like, who's that? Oh, that's my sheep. A few months ago, we talked about, we had a fox attacking our chickens. And my daughter loves her chickens. She loves her animals. And the fox was killed. My daughter loves with an imperfect love. But our Father in heaven loves with a perfect, infinite love. And the more we know that, the more we trust him, the more we draw close. But if you don't pursue knowing him, he seems distant. The more you know him, the more you stand in awe of him. The more you trust him, the more you remember he's faithful. Even in the times you don't understand. Because it says, and his sheep follow him. Sheep wander, but they follow him. And he's good about, I look at my own life. I would not be here if he did not discipline me. But look how many times I would have wandered away and how he would just steer me back through trials, correction, through his word. How often it was like the person that came over the wall who is not Jesus and how they were trying to deceive me, in the flesh it was appealing. A new doctrine. And I remember in those times, it's like, well, how do you do with these scriptures that seem to contradict it? And the Holy Spirit would begin working, pulling those scriptures up. And then realizing, this is not true gospel. This is just appealing to my flesh. I can get what I want. It's my best life now. That appeals to the flesh. And how God warned me and steered me away with his rod and his staff. We cannot forget that. In John 10, it talks about Jesus being the shepherd. I'm just going to kind of break it down as we go through it. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the door into the sheepfold, but climbs over some other way, is a thief and a robber. We cannot forget. There's no other way to God except through Jesus. We live in a culture where there's many ways. Hey, if you're a good person, surely God's going to let you into heaven. Why would God let someone in who doesn't love him? That absolutely makes no sense. To be in heaven with God and you don't love him, I think that would be torment. In John 14:6, it says, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Do you hear how important it is to know his word then? Because his word reveals who Jesus is, who God is. If we're not in it, when the deceiver comes, when someone else comes over the fence, it sounds good. But it leads to destruction. And again, Our salvation only comes through Jesus and only Him. There is no other way. Do we value our salvation that way? Do we value that it is truly a gift? Unless the Father draws us to Him, to Jesus, it's impossible to be saved. While over the years of counseling, I would see God drawing people to Him, where they had no interest in Him, and they were wanting to know more and more, and their focus became in Him, and they came to that pivotal place where they had to make a choice. It grieves me how I saw some go, no. I don't know what happened to them, but it grieved me how they rejected Him. Yet I can rejoice how many chose Him. And their lives were transformed. We need to value our salvation. Such a priceless, eternal gift that only came through Jesus Christ. For if we don't value that, our salvation, I really want to say it diminishes the mercy, the grace, and love God has for us. If we diminish it, we will tend to wander. Sheep are His. Sheep want to please their master. Continuing verse 2 of John 10. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he brings out his sheep, he goes before them, and his sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will never follow a stranger, but will run away from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Again, Jesus is the true shepherd, and his words are true that lead to eternal life. And he calls us, follow me. And sheep follow because they know his voice. And because they know their voice, because they trust him, they're obedient. I want to just deviate a little bit because there's a difference between sheep and goats. I don't know how to phrase this because just because you believe that Jesus is Lord doesn't make you a sheep. I want to clarify that. Was all of Israel saved? Were they all not in the camp? Did they not all follow the Holy Spirit, the pillar? They all experienced God. But those people who didn't, let's say, who walked to the promised land and did not believe, I want to say were goats. They knew. They believed in one way, but they didn't enter the promised land. I want to say this to challenge us, because there's a difference between relationship and religion. Religion, you believe. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. We can go across the street. We can go to any church. And those who really believe, they know his voice. He knows them, and they follow him. Them are sheep. Goats believe, but it's religion. It's not relationship. I think of in Matthew 7, it talks about, Lord, Lord, did we not do these great things? Did we not perform miracles? Did we not cast out demons? And at the end, Jesus said, I never knew you. Depart from me. They were not sheep. Because here's the thing, there's such a promise in being a sheep. That no one can snatch them out of the Father's hand. I love that. If you're a sheep, no one can snatch you away. When I'm dealing with people, one thing I look for, and when they're in the midst of the trial, sheep will say, there's nowhere else to go but to Jesus. And their faith is being tested, but they're his. And no one's going to snatch him away. There's a point of being secure in our salvation. But I want to say there's that balance of personal responsibility. Am I pursuing him? Am I a sheep? Some of the Puritan theology would say, we don't know until the end. But I would say, if you're a sheep, you're his. You don't want to go anywhere. But to be a sheep, are we pursuing him? I look at Christianity sometimes and it's like we're on a river. And that water's pushing against us. So it's our flesh who opposes the things of God. It's the world that, ooh, that's nice and shiny. I like that. Yeah. That pulls us away from the things of God. And the devil who deceives us, who blinds us. Now, if I'm not pursuing God, if I'm not in his word, if I'm not praying, if I rarely think about God, am I not starting to drift down the river the wrong direction? Be careful. But if I'm pursuing him, not, believe me, in our pursuing, it's not perfection. I worry about, it's a good day, I did everything right, therefore I'm right with God. No, we are right before God only because of Jesus. But because I love Jesus, I want to be in his word. His word of truth. It reveals to me who he is, who God is. If I love him, I'm going to want to know him more. But secondly, because I hear his voice, because I love him, am I not going to want to spend time with him? Marriage works really good if I don't spend any time with my wife. No, it will end in divorce. It will end in turmoil, one way or the other. But because I love my wife, I want to spend time with her. And because we love God, should we not want to spend time with him? Should we not want to pray? In praying, prayer is intimate. Because I want to say how often, when I get busy, I've shared this before, I tend to talk at God. But when I can quiet myself down, and often that's, I need to go for a bike ride, and in the winter it's a little bit harder. I find that spot where I can quiet myself and can begin to converse with God through his word and just listening. Because he does speak. But when he speaks, he never contradicts his word. I struggle with some of the theology out there because it contradicts God's word. And yet people gravitate to it because it's your best life now. No, it's not about us. It isn't about having a new vehicle or getting what we want. Or if I give to the Lord, I get 10 times more. You miss the heart of the scripture. If you don't know the word, it is going to appeal to the flesh. So as sheep, there's that special privilege of having that intimate relationship with God. The Holy Spirit lives within us. He leads us to all truth. He speaks to us, drawing us closer to God. If I don't listen to him like I don't listen to my wife, it doesn't go well. And there's plenty of things of drawing us away in this world of distraction. Social media, TV, doing what we want to do. But if we really love Jesus, don't you make sense that he's going to be a priority? If I really love my wife, I'm going to want to spend time with her because I love her. But if my love grows cold, it's like it's optional. When I have time, dear, I'll spend time with you. But that might be a week from now. You want to see the scars from that? Sheep want to spend time. Goats just want to come and be right in their own eyes. We're not saved by religion. We're saved by faith in Jesus Christ through grace. But with that, I want to say there's relationship. It will look different for all of us. Often with my pastor friends, and I'll kind of share some things, how I felt like God spoke to me. It's very different than from others. But we all believe God speaks. Because we're his sheep, and we know it, and we know his voice. And what a joy to be a sheep. There's a joy that we are saved. There's a joy of eternal life. Do we value that? We're all going to die unless there's a rapture. We're all going to be in the judgment seat. Different for the believer than the unbeliever. When I stand before Jesus, and I think this is the heart of sheep, we all want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Imagine him saying, gee, Lord, I'm really disappointed in you. But you can enter in. How I feel like hell. That I disappointed the one I love. But if it's just about getting into heaven, great. But I think we missed the heart of the gospel in terms of loving Jesus and wanting to please him. Our mission statement, to love and follow Jesus. Why would I want to be in heaven if I don't love him? I get it in one way because I don't want eternal damnation. I don't want eternal suffering. I don't want to be apart from his presence. But I want to be in heaven because I'm a sheep, because I love him. Not because of the benefits. And when you love him, you want to please him. You want to follow his command. So as sheep, I want to say, let's examine ourselves if we're in Christ. I think of 2 Corinthians 13:5. Testing and evaluate yourself to see whether you are in the faith and living your lives as committed believers. examine yourselves? Or do you not recognize that this about yourselves by an ongoing experience, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you fail the test and you reject it as a counterfeit? Again, sheep are dirty. Sheep get messy, but sheep love their shepherd. Does your life show that? Are you committed? Okay, religious people can read the word and they can pray. I've met them. I gotta admit, some know the word way better than I do. They have memorized way more than I have. But I find no love in them for Jesus. It's all about being right in their own eyes. That's a goat. Sheep know his voice, and they love him, and they follow him. Examine yourself. And again, like last week I talked, something that haunts me, because in the church of Ephesus, he said, you lost your first love. And there's days, I hate saying this, I don't feel like I love him. But as sheep, I need to evaluate, like the end of the year, do I love him more? Do I know him more than I did a year ago? Am I being more like him? Am I being more transformed? Or am I going the opposite direction? Examine ourselves. But in the same point, we got to rest. That Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. But he who is a hired hand, not a shepherd, does not own the sheep and sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. Did you hear that part? He laid down his life for us. Willingly, because he loves us. I think of Ephesians 3, because I would be the first to say, I do not comprehend this love that he has for us. I get it in one way, but another way. I feel like I scratch the surface of such perfect, incredible love. In Ephesians 3, Paul writes, and that you may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Do you understand his sheep? The more you know his love for you, the more you know him. And the more we know him, the more we're going to love him. If God seems to me as some distant God who kind of interacts with my life occasionally, and he's really not in control, you know, something happens and it was like, why God? Instead of trusting you sovereign, it's really hard to love him. But the more I know his word, the more I have intimacy with him, the more I trust him, the more I trust his sovereignty, the more I marvel at his love for me, his mercy, his compassion, his patience. And yet there's this confidence, because I love him and because I know him, that he's going to bring me home. It ain't going to be me. It's going to be only because of his grace and of his power that brings me to heaven. Because remember, our flesh opposes the things of God. It's always pushing us away. And I hate saying it, we all live in the flesh until we get to heaven. And the world is always trying to draw us. All those distractions in our life. And at the end of the day, there's often, God who? And the devil comes and goes, ah, it's not that big a deal. Take a break. But because we're his sheep, he will bring us home. But let us really pursue him. I want to just, there's just some things that we can do in our pursuit of him. Because we're his sheep and we love him. First one, be in his word daily. There are some days where I read several chapters. And there's other days I get one verse. But I'm amazed throughout the day and throughout the week, however I read it, God, the Holy Spirit is always using it to me to minister to other people, but using it in my own life. Some days that one verse, I'm stuck there because I'm convicted. And I'm pondering it like, ooh, there's something deeper here. And then how the Holy Spirit brings up all those other verses that are connected with that. I love that. The word is living and active. And why wouldn't we be in it? It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the difference between our soul and spirit. It's not optional if I'm a sheep. Secondly, we have to be in fellowship with him in prayer. Some people say, well, I don't pray about me because God's too busy. I've heard that over and over again. God loves us. God is not too busy. God is not like us. We make him in our own image. Some people say, well, there's billions of people. How is he going to have time? God is infinite in every way. And he wants to spend time with us individually. He wants to answer our prayer according to his will. He wants us to be honest and say, God, I'm really struggling now. Please help me. And the good shepherd will. That prayer is conversing with him. That prayer is asking, God, I want more of you. That prayer is praying for others. I think of Mary and Harvey with their niece's husband. We've been praying that God would heal him and how there's been miracles. And now we're praying for his salvation. There is so much to pray about. But I love when I can just be quiet and hear that still small quiet voice, whether it's through his word or through his spirit. Again, sheep know his voice and they follow him. And as sheep, we need to spend time thanking him for who he is and what he's done and what he's going to do. How he's protected us. His provision. You know, sometimes provision can be tough. How am I going to do this? But he will always provide for our needs. Didn't say wants, it said needs. And sometimes it can be really challenging. But that's where faith grows. Can we trust his word? Can we thank him that he is faithful to guide us and discipline us? I look about all the times he's disciplined me. Never fun. It's never fun when I have paralyzed and boils from my head to my feet and running 106 temp. That wasn't fun, but it changed my life. In the midst of it, What are you doing, God? But when his purpose was complete, wow, God. And we need to remember that. In the midst of the storm, what are you doing, God? But trusting there's a purpose, and when it's complete, we will stand in awe. And sometimes we will not see that complete until we're in heaven. But we need to have a heart of thanksgiving. We need to choose to believe he's always good and his ways are perfect. Because as sheep know him, they trust him. And we need to be praying each day, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to walk by your Spirit, not the flesh. Because it's our nature to walk by the flesh. When I walk by the flesh, I tend to get angry. I tend to hate well. In terms of, is it really loving? When someone pulls out in front of me, I don't pray, God, please be with them. Please work in their lives. In the flesh, there's a different response. And I need the Holy Spirit in my heart changing me. Then I'm praying for them, even though in a small way they offended me. I need the Holy Spirit, me praying for the lost versus about me. How desperately we need a move of the Holy Spirit. I will just say that for my own life, to be more and more filled with him. That it isn't about me. And then lastly, relationship means time. Relationship means intention. I need to be diligent that I'm having a relationship with my Lord and my Good Shepherd. Because it's not going to happen on its own. He'll be drawing. He'll be speaking. But I can ignore it. Again, it's like my wife. If I'm not intentional, everything's fine. How many times I've counseled couples and the wife is like, the marriage is falling apart. He doesn't love me. And the guy's going, I thought it was fine. He didn't say anything. Relationship is intentional. And we need to be intentional as sheep, spending time with him. Because we love him. And let's put those things in our lives, those constant piles of rocks, of reminders that he is faithful, and he always will be faithful. Don't forget him. It's easy to forget him. We have many, and I have to remind myself, when I see him, I look at my house and how God provided in so many miraculous ways. That's a reminder that God is faithful. Even how I struggle to walk, it's God's faithfulness, people. I would not be here if he didn't allow certain things in my life. I can look at it as a curse and God, why don't you heal me? I want to be normal. Or I can go, thank you, God, because you have a purpose in it. Because you love me, because I'm your sheep, you allow this versus wanting to curse him. Can I trust his ways? Because I know he loves me. But that comes through relationship. Amen.